7 September 04. Tonight is one of those classes. Every now and then I have them. This is a one tape lesson. We may be out here at 8 o'clock. We may be out here at 12 o'clock. But we'll get out of here. Huh? All right. You don't think there'll be very many people here at 11 o'clock, huh? But it is an important class, important study, and it's a one tape study that I don't want it to go into two tapes. So we'll do that. Glad to have Don and Nancy Becker here. They get the award for coming the furthest distance, traveling the furthest distance to Bible class. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. It's a passage like this. You lay out some of the better, I'm going to use the word commentaries, that's what they're called, men who study the Bible in the languages. And it's just amazing what is seen and what is not seen. Then you go over to battles. How is a person saved? How is a person spiritual? People, it's a passage like this that we're going to look at that helps us answer that question. Something wrong with my throat tonight, and I'm not surprised. Let's begin with a word of prayer. It is so vital, Heavenly Father, that once we understand that you are, that we understand how to be in harmony with you in our own individual lives. This is seen in the graciousness of your love at the cross. You make it so simple. Pray your Spirit will give me the words to communicate the simplicity of the passage that is before us, that we might understand at any given point in our life, we seek to be restored in harmony with you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. There are just some doctrines that are vital to mankind, not up for our discussion or grabs or just talking about, but they're just vital. The existence of the supreme being of God, the Muslim counterfeit that we have going on, and a lot of counterfeits in the world. Then once you understand that there is a God, then the second question then becomes how to be in harmony with God. The most vital question for the unbeliever is how to be in harmony with God as an unbeliever. And then this is a two-part type of thing, this being in harmony with God, one for the unbeliever, the second for the believer. For the unbeliever, how to be in harmony with God, how to be in proper relationship with God, we call that salvation generally. The question is how. And that's the most important question. There is no more important question for the unbeliever than that. Now, there is no more important question for the believer when he is out of fellowship, not in the light, not in the Spirit. How do I get back? In the discussion of the seven churches, we do not have, we have not had, and will not have the answer to this question for the unbeliever. Why not? Because we're not dealing with unbelievers in these passages. He's talking, the letter is written to seven churches, dealing with believers. Now, there will be things that will be said for the unbeliever to gain harmony that are going to be very parallel, very much parallel with the believer. Like, for an example, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I know people that have been saved by that passage, even though it's for the believer. And we'll talk about that when we come to that next in our study. But in most of the cases, we're dealing with believers who are out of harmony with God, in carnality, in sin, in idolatry, all the things we've been studying with some of the churches, whatever degree, they're not in the power of the Spirit. So in most of the letters, five of the letters that Jesus Christ is going to talk to those who are saved, who are Christians, who are in eternal security, but as far as time is concerned, out of harmony, out of step with God, in sin and idolatry, different things. So therefore, in most of these, Jesus Christ will give instructions to the believers on how to get back into the light. We now move in Revelation 3 to the all-important verse 3, which lays out an outline how to wake up and be strengthened and strengthen what remains. Reminds you to look at verse 2, verse 2, wake up. And we studied what that means. It's two verbs. Become something that you're not. Be awake. It's actually two verbs, which is translated that way in the King James. New American NIV has one, wake up. King James, become something that you weren't, become awake as believers, and strengthen the things which remain, which were about to die. We studied that. For, and you'll understand, wake up and be strengthened, but wake up for, wake up is the main verb here, wake up for, I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Now we move to verse 3, how to wake up. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Now this is very beautiful. This is just another way of looking at the spiritual the process of spiritual recovery. When I'm not walking correctly, prodigal son, any example you want to take, as these believers weren't, how do I get back into, we can call it, get back into fellowship, be restored, get back into the power of the Spirit, get back into the light. A lot of different words and phrases can be used. Before we look at this text, let's go back and look at what was said to the church of Ephesus. Chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. One of the strongest things is said to this church of Ephesus. They were solid on doctrine. They demanded doctrine be taught correctly, but they had no love. So they had all of their doctrine, but they had no spiritual love. You recall here we did the three R's of spiritual recovery. Anybody remember the three R's? Remember? Remember? Okay, there's one before that. No, I'm sorry, you're right. I beg your pardon. Repent? I'm wrong. And repent? And what? Repeat. That's it. Repeat. Okay, we studied those. Remember, repent, and repeat. Remember from where you have fallen, walking by faith. Repent. Repent of what you are doing instead of walking by faith. Change your mind about that and go back to walking by faith. And that's the repeating. Go back to walking by faith. That's what we are to repeat. Now, having said that to the church of Ephesus, he went to Smyrna. Nothing about a spiritual recovery there because they were doing it right and they were the ones that were suffering more than any of the churches. So there it was just encouragement to that church. But they were doing it right, even though they were suffering the most. Then with Pergamum and Thyatira, all that is mentioned was repent. Nothing about confession, but repentance. Why repentance? Why do we go to repentance? Because repentance... Oh, I'm going to give me some new pens tomorrow. The reason you go to repentance... I think that one's no good either. The reason you go to repentance is because repentance always summons to faith. Repentance is not the same thing as faith, but it summons to faith. It draws or begs to go to simple faith. Now we come to the church of Sardis. Let's go back to 3:3 now. Let's go back to Revelation 3:3, because we're going to make this simple. I think this is just a phenomenal verse in the Bible. Now, first thing I want you to do is see the structure of the verse itself. The verse is divided into two parts. The two parts are noted by the particle un, looks like that in the Greek, O-U-N, translated therefore. Therefore. There are two of those. In verse 3, you can see them even in the English. They're both translated in the English. Remember, therefore, and then it says in the middle, if, therefore. So, the un divides it. Now, the first un, this first therefore, introduces the gracious call of God to be restored to the light, to be made alive again. It introduces how to be made alive, awake. So we come from awake, or wake up, or be awake. Become awake. Now, therefore, is going to introduce how to do that. How to be made spiritually awakened again. You've been dormant, asleep. You're saved. But now you've gone to sleep, so how do you do that? Now, this is going to be given by going back to how they were first restored, how they were first saved, and do that. See, awake means you are asleep. Okay, that is an ideal of spiritual death, temporally, not eternally. Just not, you don't care, you're not walking in the power of the Spirit. You're to awake. Question, how? Okay, do you remember how when you were an unbeliever and you were, as it were, asleep, you were not in relationship with God? Do you remember that? Yeah, I do. Well, do you remember what you did to become alive? Remember how you were first spiritually awakened. Keep doing that. What did I do? Well, all I did at that time was faith. I believed on the one that he sent. Bingo! You got it. So remember how you were first awakened. Keep doing that. And then you go to the second, therefore. And what this one does, it goes back to verse 2. And I'll show you how right now so you can look at your text. Verse 2, awake. Be awake. Wake up. Therefore, if you will not wake up. So, awake. How, verse therefore, how to awake. Therefore, awake. If you do not awake, therefore, something's going to happen. If you do not awake. Okay, let's study tonight the first half of verse 3. Introduced by the particle un that I have on the board. Therefore, first thing Jesus Christ says now, people, is to remember. Remember. So many movements have their solution word. Solution word on how to be saved or how to be restored. Repentance, confession, sorrow, all these biblical words. But I wonder when the last time was you heard somebody say, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, remember. It's not used. People don't say that. But I want to tell you something, people. Take the structure of this verse. If people were to use the same hermeneutics, interpretation of Scripture, that some people use in passages like 1 John 1:9, we should then contend that you should have to remember. And if you remember, then you'll be filled with the Spirit. If I'm going to use the hermeneutics of 1 John 1:9 and say, okay, that's the key, that's the secret, then you've got to be honest with your scholarship of the Bible. At least you've got to be honest with it and say, okay, then this is what you got to do. And I'll show you we can do the same thing with the word repent. We should have to be satisfied and say the word is, remember, then you'll be saved. Then you'll be restored. But as we're going to see, that just like the word homologeo or confession in 1:9, it's just the first step of spiritual recovery. There's so many different groups in the Bible. So many different groups in the Bible, and I'll just put a few on here. Different groups of the Bible who have a problem. They're out of fellowship and they have a problem. In 1 John 1:9, what was their problem? Their problem was they were in denial. People, if you're in denial, you're not going to be filled with the Spirit. Because you don't need to be. I'm already right with God. No, what you've got to do is, you've got to confess or to acknowledge that you're not. That's all that passage is about, people. Don't make more out of it than that. That's their problem. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Corinth. And in Corinth, what was their problem? We'll just say hardening of the heart, insensitive. West Tuttle, come on in. They were insensitive, hardening of the heart. So what does it talk about there? Sorrow. Why? Because of their problem. Why confession? Because of their problem. Let's take the church of Ephesus, the church of Sardis. Church of Ephesus, they have forgotten all about the whole issue of how, what's going on. So therefore, remember. Okay, there are other ones. We can go to the church James taught. What was their problem? Their problem was, stop blaming God. Why? Because they blame God that they sin. They confessed. People, let me just tell you this. Let's just take confession. If confession restored, people in James's church are in fellowship because they acknowledged, just like in Corinth. If confession did it, the people in Corinth are filled with the Spirit because they said, yes, I did that, your problem. Yes, I did that, and that's the way it is. That's the way I am. I can't worry about it. That's the way I am. Yeah, I did that, but that's the way I am. They should be filled with the Spirit. No, they're not. What the Holy Spirit has to do with them is bring them to a, yes, that was wrong. That was a sin. The people in James's church. Yes, I sin. They should be filled with the Spirit, shouldn't they? No. Yes, I sin, but it's God's fault. See, God is in charge of all things, and if I sin, it's God. No, you don't blame God for your sin. And then he takes them to faith. So there are a lot of these in the Bible where we have this given of what is their problem. Now let's talk about confession. People, it's the first thing an alcoholic has to do if he wants to recover. He has to acknowledge he's an alcoholic. One of the first things that they do in AA, you got to stand up and you got to say, I am an alcoholic. People, that's tough for some people. That's tough. When you do that, that means I am responsible for the broken home, the beat up wife, the lost jobs, the wrecked cars, hurt people, on and on and on. That's tough. I'd rather just say, no, I don't have a problem. Then you're never going to hit recovery of it. First thing you got to do, I acknowledge I am an alcoholic. Great. Now for the Christian, what does God say? See, what happens in our society is, and this is the way most Christians work, by the way, anything you say can and will be used against you. They want you to acknowledge you did wrong, but it's going to be used against you. It will be used against you. Don't worry about that with God. With man, you've got to. I thought it was funny. I don't want to get into the rights, wrongs, and the issues, and I'm not defending anybody or anything. I'm just saying, I thought it was interesting when Kobe apologized, you should have heard the news people saying, well, see, there he did it, because he apologized. First the lawyers say you got to apologize, he apologizes, and then they're going to kill him on it. Well, that's the way man is. Not God. It's a part of the recovery, and it's not that way with an alcoholic. We're not going to hold anything against you. It's going to be part of getting into the recovery. Now let's go to the church, our church. Sardis here. It's the first thing they've got to do. First thing they've got to do is remember. Now, this is the same Greek word we had in Ephesians 2:5. Memno. It means to remember or call to mind. Okay, let's talk for a moment about the word. It's a present active imperative. It's imperative. First thing, present active imperative, remember. Okay, deliverance for the unbeliever from the penalty of sin is similar to the deliverance for the believer from the power of sin and salvation. Now, years ago, one of the most important books in my spiritual journey was Lewis Berry Chafer, and who put this thing together and said in chapter 7 of his book, He That Is Spiritual, you've got to realize that spiritual recovery from sin is similar to our eternal life salvation, that they're both salvations. If you will understand that when we are brought out of sin as believers, God has to act and save us, and then you'll know it is an act of God. So we ask the question, do you remember what you did as an unbeliever to be delivered or saved from the penalty of sin? Do you remember that? Yes, I do remember that. All I did was faith. I believed in the one that He said. Bingo. Keep doing that. That's what He's saying here. Do you remember how you first established fellowship with God? Yes, I do. It was faith. Then keep doing that. Repeat that. Okay. In his chart, in chapter 7, his conclusion, what Chafer did was, he said, here's the unbeliever, and here is the believer. The unbeliever is under the penalty of sin. The believer is under the power of sin. Both under sin, penalty, power. What you want to look at is this. Being brought out from the penalty of sin we call salvation or deliverance. Well, being brought out from sin here for the believer, you want to understand this, is salvation or deliverance. So the first thing we note is the state of the existence. This is the Church of Sardis right here. What is our objective? Our objective is to be saved, delivered from the penalty of sin as an unbeliever. Here we are believers, Church of Sardis, us today. I want to come out from under the power of sin. I want to be saved. And you've got to realize it as a salvation. I want to be delivered from the power of sin. Okay? 3, however this is going to be done, God is going to have to do it. And the same thing is true of the believer. God is going to have to do it. And 4, He is going to do it on the basis of the work of His Son, in the same place for both of them. However we're saved from the penalty of sin is by the work of Christ on the cross. However we're delivered from the power of sin is by the work of Christ on the cross. 5, it's going to be by grace. And the same thing is true of the believer. It's going to be by grace. And so what does that tell you? It can't be by anything a man does. If you understand point 5, means that whatever we're going to put that man does to bring about this deliverance, it's going to have to be by God, because if it's by grace, man can't do anything. So, what fits all of this? Faith. For the unbeliever. What fits over here for the believer? Faith. Faith in the one that He sent. Whom did He send? To demonstrate this principle to us, His Son on the cross. Who did He send to us as believers? His Spirit. Here it's His Son. Here it's His Spirit. In other words, God Himself. You're just trusting God. Why would anyone argue with that? So this is what you did. Now, I don't know where it is in my notes, but I want to say it now. I believe that one reason God made our salvation a one simple act of faith. At one given moment. I think one reason He did that was so that any time in our life, like in the Church of Sardis, we found ourselves so far out of walking with Him, caring about Him, We're not in His plan. We don't care about His plan. And we reach that point like the prodigal son. Boy, I sure would like to be right with God. But I am so bad. I have been away so long. I have done this or I haven't done that. There's just no way. Oh, wait a minute. Just a minute. Yeah? Do you remember your status when you were an unbeliever? Well, yeah, I was desperately evil as his enemy and all that. I learned that. Okay. Do you remember how you became his friend? Did you work for it? Did you improve your life? Did you become a better person? Did you give up anything? No. All I did was trust the one he sent. Bingo. Now, here you are as a believer. You want to come back? Remember what you did here? Yeah. Then keep doing that. And I believe personally that is one reason that God made our eternal life a simple one-act decision so that any time throughout the rest of our lives, we could just say, that's all I have to do. And any time somebody comes along and says, no, over here you've got to confess. You've got to work for it. You've got to feel sorry. You've got to do penance. You've got to take time. It's going to take years. It's going to do this. No, wait a minute. That isn't the way I remembered it happened when I was an unbeliever. He loved me. As soon as I went into faith, I'm back in with him. Same thing as a believer. As a believer here. So, now we come to the question, what are they to remember? What are we to remember? Remember, therefore, what you have received. Okay. Now we go to another problem. Remember, therefore, what you have received. We have a major problem. And it all centers around the interrogative adverb, pos. P-O-S. Pos. Look how it's translated in your text. Remember what you have received. If you have the New American Standard Version with marginal notes, you will note that this is correctly translated in your margin. Anybody have a margin? How's it translated? How? Dear people, that is so important. I am so upset that this got by the translators. Now the King James says how. Anybody have a King James? It says how, doesn't it? Yep. For some reason, the NIV and the New American Standard wanted to translate that what because it couldn't make sense on the how. So they translated it what. And that is incorrect. People, let me tell you, it's little things like this that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it is so important to correctly understand a passage. Please look with me, if you will, at Galatians 2. Go back to Galatians chapter 2 a moment. Galatians chapter 2. Just little things sometimes change the whole impact of a passage. We were at seminary, a group of us went to one of the professors and wanted to have an entire semester on particles. And while he understood it was important, he didn't think there'd be enough interested. Of course, there were four or five of us sitting right there. We thought that was enough, but he didn't think so. So they've got to make a certain amount of money, and I understand all of that, but I think there would have been other students. But anyway, particles are important. Here we have the particle. Let me look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 with you. Verse 20. Very important passage. Now we're getting ready for chapter 3 in verse 20. Getting ready for chapter 3. So look what he says. I, Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Note the phrase, I live by faith in the Son of God. Okay, the NASV and the NIV says faith in the Son of God. John, how does that King James read that phrase? Faith of the Son of God. But that doesn't make sense, does it? if you're reading this. These people could make sense of that. The translators. So they did some interpreting for us. They said, oh, well, that must mean in the Son of God. For now I live by faith in the Son of God. Isn't what it says. The Greek says, I live by faith of the Son of God. Now, that didn't make sense to them. If you'll note, just above it, and the life which I now live in the flesh, see, that's a particle in, if that's what he's going to use, he'd have used it again, but he didn't. He used the genitive here, the masculine genitive, which is translated of, but that didn't make sense. Why didn't the translators say in the faith of? Because they didn't understand it. Yet you and I can. What's chapter 3 about? Chapter 3 is about walking in the power of the Spirit by faith. How did Jesus Christ live when he was on earth, people? By faith. We studied that in Luke and in various passages. Jesus Christ lived by the leading and guiding and power of the Holy Spirit. Because what he did was he took off his deity, became humanity, and the humanity of Christ lived by walking and being guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's how you and I are to live. Now let's go back to Revelation 3. Revelation 3:3. Remember, therefore, how. Okay, that's going to be important. How did I receive? Whatever it is we're going to talk about receiving here, we haven't got there yet. But how did I receive it? How did I receive whatever I received from God? This time we have the perfect. You're going to have to just bear with me and put your thinking caps on tonight. We're dealing here with the perfect, active, indicative of the verb lambano. That's L-A-M-B-A-N, long O, lambano. Lambano means to receive or to take in whatever manner, and that's our whole question. What manner did I receive? The manner is not given in the word lambano. It just means to receive or take. The manner is not in this word. And that's the point of this whole discussion by Jesus Christ. Remember how, right here, or in what manner did you receive whatever we're going to be talking about? Before God. Okay. What we're going to have here, and have fun with you, just to show you how beautiful all of this is, the perfect tense. It's called a perfect tense in the Greek. The perfect tense emphasizes something that happened in the past. In the past, but it has present results. So, here's something that happened in the past with present results today. That's what the perfect tense does. It emphasizes the present effect of something that happened in the past. Tense is important here. Very important. Perfect tense then does what? Perfect tense here. Remember. Here's remember. How you received. Okay, what am I immediately going to do as a Greek? And we want to do it in English? Well, that takes me way back to the past. Some people, it may have been just a short time ago. Other people, they still may be there. It may have been in the mid-50s when we think this church was established. In the middle 50s of the first century. By the time Christ and John's writing John. So probably somewhere back far back. So some of them may have happened 50 years ago. So, wherever it was in their past, they received something, we don't know what it is yet, from God. How did you receive it? So, people, what Christ does here is so beautiful. How did they receive it? So, it takes them back to their redemptive salvation. We'll do that. We'll jump ahead. So, in the past, I received salvation. I received being in harmony with God. I received that. Permanently received it. Forever. How did I receive that? So you can see how the Lord's got them start thinking now. So here I am, a believer in Sardis, and things are getting ready to just be taken away, and I'm not walking with him. Remember, he doesn't brace them. He doesn't chew them out, people. He goes to their thinking. Remember how. I'm going to have to think now. Okay, the Lord's saying something here. Remember how I received in the past. I go back to the day I was saved, or the time I was saved. I go back to that. How did I receive salvation? You know, all I did, I remember that, because I remember Paul coming through. I remember John coming through. We don't know who evangelized or formed the church in Sardis, either Paul or John, because he was the pastor of a lot of the churches in the Galatia, in this area that we're talking about. So, whoever it was, I remember, he said, all I had to do was faith. All I had to do was trust. That's all. No works, no performance, no doing like the law that the Jews were telling me about that lived here in Sardis. They just came through. I remember that upset the Jews too. Boy, I remember that. Boy, he talked about just faith, and the Jews got really mad. And he said, no, you got to do the law. And no, all you got to do is faith. I remember that. So I remember how. All I did was faith. Simple, non-meritorious faith. And among other things, I was eternally saved. I was eternally in harmony with God. All by His grace, all by His love, all by His doing. Okay, stick with that. You remember that. All you did in the past was a grain of mustard seed of faith in the Son of God, and that brought you that harmony forever. So, in the past, you believed. Now we're going to jump to the present. Results, you're still saved. You're saved forever. But experientially, you're not walking correctly. You failed, you're in sin, idolatry, whatever it is. You've lost that fellowship, like a husband and wife. They've stripped apart. Still married. How can we get this back? Well, with God, just remember what brought us to the altar in the first place. Okay, let's move along. Remember, therefore, now, how you have received. Okay, what is the subject of what is received? Is it stated here? No. It's not stated. It's just not stated. Now, what we have them asleep, dead. Look what it says now. Verse 1, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a great reputation, that you are alive, but you are really dead, spiritually. Not eternally, you're spiritually dead. So that's what's going on here. They're spiritually dead. Then he says in verse 2, wake up, become alive. You're dead, wake up, come alive. Now in verse 3, we're studying how to do this. So again, what is it that they received? Okay, we know it's being alive in the power of the Spirit. Verse 1, they're dead, temporal death. Verse 2, awake, spiritually alive. How? In the power of the Spirit. The question is, how am I going to do that? Okay, let's talk about what they received. Look back with me, if you will, at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's see if we can work this out and not just fake it. Jesus Christ is speaking in Revelation 3, but John's writing. So let's go to John. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12. But as many as received Him. Okay, there's our clue. Received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. How did you receive Him? Even to those who believed in His name. This verse tells us what is received and how. By faith. Please look at John 3. At John 3. Now, before I go any further, so we don't have to turn to it in a few moments, because I'll refer to it. In the Gospel of John 3, I want you to look at something, and then when we come to this, I won't have to go back. Look at Verse 3. Just put this as a parenthesis. I think you can handle it. Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Nowhere in here, people, does he tell you how to be born again. And talking to Nicodemus. Just like we have here, receive what? See, you and I are used to this. We're used to things not being stated. But this is where a lot of false doctrine comes in. Because anybody can say, oh, this is what is being said. So we have to go back and see if we can find it in the text, what's being said. But look at verse 32 with me in John 3. John 3, verse 32. What he has seen and heard of, that he bears witness, and no man receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son, there's that word obey, and what's the obedience? Faith, right at the beginning of the verse, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Look at chapter 5 with me. Chapter 5, verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another come in his own name, you will receive him. So, what is Jesus Christ talking about? Why does Jesus Christ go at the matter? Let's go back now to Revelation 3. Why does Jesus Christ go at it from the angle that he does with the church of Sardis? Why doesn't he just say it right out? People, I want you to understand, the Bible is written this way on purpose. It was like the disciples came to Jesus Christ and said, "Why don't you just lay it out? Why do you talk in parables? Why don't you tell the people?" And he says, because those who will see it, that it's by faith, they'll see it. Those who don't want to see it will never see it. It's that way on purpose. It's that way on purpose. If you want to see the Bible saying you have to do something, people, it's there. You want to see the Bible saying it's by faith, it's there. There are so many verses that I... Let me word this funny. There are so many verses I could have written much clearer. See? So I think. They still wouldn't get it. It's very clear. But they don't want to see it. One of the primary reasons God made our eternal salvation by one simple act of faith in the one that He sent was so that at any time throughout your life where you wanted to, you lost your relationship with Him and let it go, moved on, got other interests in life, you want to get back, all you have to do is remember, how did I do it way back then? How did I do it before I started getting off in whatever it may be? It doesn't always have to be sin in the technical sense of the word, just got off with interest in this, interest in that, doing this, doing that, and it may be sin. Whatever it is, I want to get back and walk with Him. I wonder how I can do that. All you have to do is just remember how I did it at the beginning and go back and do that. Okay. Remember, therefore, how you have received. So I hope now that if anyone will ask you, you can talk yourself through the phrase and answer. What is it they received? We have two verbs. Let's move to the third. Remember, therefore, how you have received. That's our second verb. And now we have a third verb, and heard. Isn't it interesting? Now, we don't usually do that in our everyday speech. Now, I have had it part of my everyday communication from my mother. Did you hear what I said? It's the same idea. Did you hear what I said? Okay, and heard. It's a kind of interesting thing. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Okay, this time we have an aorist active indicative. Okay, I want to show you some fun. Have some fun with me. Stay with me. It's a very important part of the Bible. Remember. Okay, let's put remember on the board here. And then we'll put have received. Okay, that was our second verb. Now the first verb, remember, was a present active imperative. That means right now, do this now. Have received, that's perfect. That takes you to the past. That takes you to the past when you received something. So, starts off with remember, the present, command to go back to something in the back here, so that you learn how to wake up. What I want, my objective, what's my objective? Again, let's don't lose it. What's my objective? What do I want to do? I want to get awake, spiritually, which is a concept of being filled with the Spirit. What's my objective? I want to build a car. What's my objective? I want to pass a test. What's my objective? So that I learn what these steps are going to be. My objective is to become spiritually alive again as a believer. Step one, remember. Something in the past takes you to the back. Now, have received. I've received something in the past. Salvation, and it has present results. I'm still saved. No matter what's happened to me, I'm still saved by something in the back. Now he goes to heard. Okay, this one now is an aorist active indicative. Aorist active indicative. That means at some point in the past, you heard it. One shot type thing. Akuo is our verb. A-K-U-O, long O. Akuo, meaning to hear. Akuo means to hear from someone who was teaching the truth. But here it emphasizes not only the act of hearing, but the act of learning by hearing. Act of learning by hearing. They have learned something. Something happened to them. The aorist tense says, some point in the past, you heard this. I want you to remember how you've received in the past and heard. Someone taught them the truth. Maybe Paul. Maybe John. Doesn't matter. What matters is that they heard. Just don't get caught up on the communicator. Somewhere along the line, they've heard this. Okay. What is going on with this one? Please turn to Galatians 3. We were at Galatians 2. Now I'd like you to look at Galatians 3 for a very important passage. Why does Jesus Christ talk about heard? Remember how you have received. Seems like that would be enough. Seems like that would do it. Remember how you have received. But he says, and heard. Why does he do that? Okay. See if I can answer that question for you without giving you 25 points in Greek and things like that. And just show you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians. Okay. We studied this. This is not chewing them out. This is not calling them stupid. The word here is translated non-thinking. I've had preachers and people, oh man, he's chewing them out, you jackasses, you stupid people. People, it's not what he's doing. He's doing the same thing Jesus Christ is doing to Sardis. He wants them to think. Just start thinking with me. Will you do that? People, he didn't come into Sardis and chew them out. Boy, I did all this and you people have let this church go and you're not doing your job. He said, no, wait a minute. All I want you to do is remember. Remember the past. How you received. Okay, this is what Paul's doing. Let's see how this goes. You non-thinking Galatians. Who has charmed you? Witchcraft charm. There's that little proverbial who goes through the Bible talking about Satan. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Making it very simple for them. This is the tenderness of Paul as the tenderness of Christ to Sardis. Get you to start thinking. Would you think? Would you just think? Did you receive the Spirit? This is the issue for the believer. Issue for the unbeliever? Receiving Christ. Issue for the believer, receiving the Spirit. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by doing something, or by hearing with faith. Now you know why he said heard. That's all. When we're saved, we hear the gospel, and the gospel is a call of faith. Verse 3. Watch with me now. Are you not thinking? Are you not thinking? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? No. I'm thinking this through now. This is the only thing I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I did it by faith, Paul. Good. Then are you not thinking? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Well, I was trying to, I'll admit. I was trying to do the law. But you're right. I got to go back and do it by, as I heard, by faith. Then we have this difficult passage. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed in vain? It's not to suffer. The word paschai here is translated suffer because often it's related to the sufferings of Christ. But the Greek word in the lexicon means experience. Did you experience things? What did Christ experience? He experienced suffering. And so that's why they often will translate it suffering. But if you look at any Greek lexicon, the word means to experience. Did you experience so many things in vain? Like what? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Was that in vain? If indeed it was in vain, how would receiving the Holy Spirit be in vain? I never use it. I put $1 million in your bank account, and I haven't done that, so don't run out. But if I put $1 million in your bank account, and you just struggle every payday, and you struggle to pay your bills, then the money's in vain. It's sitting there, but you won't use it. It's in vain. The Holy Spirit's in you, but you won't let Him guide you, fill you, lead you. So it's been in vain. Does He, God the Father, then, who graciously supplies you with the Holy Spirit, working, see, this is, they have works, miracles. Actually, you have working power in you, not among you, but the Greek is in you. Do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? The answer is the hearing with faith. Now let's go back to our passage. See, we put this together. Just a few minutes left. That's all we need. So, why did he do that? Because, people, how we are saved is by the hearing of faith. In other words, we believe in Jesus Christ. That's how. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Now we have another verb. And keep it. Keep it. Okay, this time we have the present. Let's see, are these the verbs? Yeah, good. Alright, keep it. Alright. This time we have the present, active imperative. Present, active imperative. That means right now and continually. Active voice, you do it. Imperative, this is a command. Okay, what I want to do, I want to wake up. I want to wake up spiritually, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, remember, present tense. I want you to do this right now. What you think? How you have received. Okay, I got to go back to the past, perfect tense. And heard, aorist tense, point in time, I heard and was saved when I believed. Keep it, present tense. Okay, it goes with this present tense. Present tense, active. You do this. Okay, the word is tereo. T-E-R-E, long O. Tereo. Okay, what does it mean? The word means to keep in the present tense. Keep on guarding. Keep on keeping it. Now, with this verb, the Lord moves close to spiritual recovery. How to become awake. The verb means to guard, keep an eye on, watch. People want to watch me. The word means to obey. Word means to keep it, keep doing it, means to obey. Okay, question, keep what? Keep doing what? See? Receive what? Keep what? How did I receive it? How come Christ didn't say it? I could write this verse out and answer all that. The Lord just did a really, He didn't do a good job here. See? Yes, He did. If you want to see it. First place we have to look for the answer is in the local context. We're not specifically told. But we are told, aren't we? Keep on, keep doing it, keep obeying it. What? We go back to this how. That's why that's so important. And how was by faith. Okay, keep doing that. Keep doing that faith. People, the way this verse is written, just like I showed you in the John 3 passage, here he's talking to Nicodemus and to all people who are going to read the Bible. You must be born again, or actually it says you must be born from above. How do I do that? It's not told in that context. This is the way it often is in the Bible. It's not there, but it is. It is the most blatant thing through all the Bible for the eye that wants to see. It's the most blatant mystery. It's like someone standing there looking at a forest and misses the idea that most of the forest is made up of pecan trees and never see it. Just trying to figure it all out. They can't see it. It's so blatant. From the beginning to the end, will you just trust me? Will you just trust the one I send? No, I've got to work for it. I've got to figure it out. I've got to understand it. I've got to work for it. I've got to be good for it. I've got to do the law. I've got to do this. No, no, just trust me. It's there. Now, I'm going to give you some passages that will help you see this. We don't have time to go through them tonight. But let's just go through them and look in the words of Jesus Christ and in the words of John. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John 8. They're right here together. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I'll do it with you very quickly. Okay, keep it. Gospel of John, chapter 8. We're going to look, first of all, at verse 51. John 8, 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Again, what is his word? Well, we know that is to believe in Jesus Christ, faith. Look at chapter 14, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Oh, see now, there it is. Keep all the commandments. Well, what are the commandments in the context? Faith and love. If you study the chapter 14, those are the two imperatives, to believe and love. Verse 21 of that chapter, same chapter 14. Verse 21. He who has my commandments, faith and love, and keeps them, is walking by faith, loving as he loved, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will disclose myself to him. Now, we've studied this before, jumped to it sometime, and how what this means to disclose. People, you disclose yourself to somebody who loves you, and that's what Christ does. You don't want to disclose yourself to somebody who doesn't love you, but to somebody who does love you. Let's look at 1 John. Go to the epistle of 1 John. I'm sure he hadn't stood up yet, so I must have a few seconds here on the tape. 1 John. Chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I want to know what commandments we're talking about. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. There it is again. And do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. Here it is. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Just as he has commanded us, love one another. The only way you can do that is in the power of the Spirit. So there's your commandments, faith and love. That's why Paul says, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. That's the grandeur of the whole journey. So what is it to be kept or obeyed? Faith. That's what is to be kept. Now there's one more command. In Revelation 3:3, we've had remember how you have received and heard. Keep doing that. Keep doing the faith. Now we have the aorist active imperative of repent. Repent. Metanoia. Same word we've had all through this study. People, if there's one word that could really be taken out of context and made the way to be saved and the way to be spiritual, be the word repent. It's far, far by far in more passages than confession. Confession's in one passage only. And that's 1 John 1:9. Repent is all the way through. Confession isn't even in this whole discussion by Jesus Christ. But we do have this whole word repent. And we've studied it in great detail. I'm not going to go through all that tonight. We studied it in this very study in Revelation. Okay. If we're on track, we have a little problem here. The command to keep it or obey, which is a call to faith, is stated before the call to repent. And we would expect is for repent and then keep it, wouldn't we? That would be a nice order. So we have a slight problem with repentance being last here. I'm going to give you two things going on here that we can explain this, what's happening. So we can see what's happening. First, I will give you out of A.T. Robertson's A Grammar of the Greek New Testament in Light of Historical Research. It's about this thick and not that big. Excellent work. And also by Dave Anoon in the Word Biblical commentary series, that this is what is called hesteron proteron. Hesteron proteron is a thing. Proteron. Hesteron proteron. H-Y-S-T-E-R-O-N, for those of you on tape, H-Y-S-T-E-R-O-N dash P-R-O-T-E-R-O-N. And what this means is, last, first. Last, first. In this, placing two events in reverse order, and it's used throughout Revelation. Why is that done? Why is that done? To place emphasis on the all importance of the repentance. So that's why the repentance is stated first, even though it's not the last thing to be done. The last thing to be done is the faith, the obeying, the keeping it. That's really the last thing to be done. But he's going to say repent first, and the reason last, because that's where it's going to start. Because it is repentance that summons to faith. See? So, yes, if we were doing this, we would expect repent and keep doing that. Keep obeying that. Keep doing faith. But he pulls a last first on us. So he says repent. He says obey or keep it. Keep it. That's the obey. That's the faith. Keep on doing that. Then he goes to repent, which is really not the last thing to be said. Why does he do that? Because of the urgency of this first step. This is the first step, and this will summons you to faith. So, our passage looks like this in Revelation 3. In spiritual recovery, how to regain the power of the Spirit. Wake up! That's a call to being spiritually alive, being filled with the Spirit, if you please. How am I going to do that? Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, keep it, and repent. Now, remember, repent would come first, but remember, hesteron proteron He's going to end with what they have to do right now, and that is to repent, and that's going to summons them to faith. Now, we're going to have next Tuesday night the second un. If, therefore, the second therefore. Verse 3 starts off with therefore, and then in the middle, if therefore, you will not wake up, you will not make spiritual recovery, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. So this is where we'll begin last week. Any questions on what we did here? To me, this is so beautiful, so important, and so beautifully stated by our Savior. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. One of the most wonderful things, you make it so easy. You make it so easy to have harmony with you. It's amazing how many refuse to just simply come to your love and grace. They're benefited by you even if they don't. They're graced by you even if they don't. They're loved by you even if they don't. Unbeliever and believer. But how simple and how easy you've made it for both the unbeliever and the believer to just come and to be in harmony with you. It's amazing our arrogance, our hard-headedness in not doing it. It's amazing the long-suffering of your love. I pray, Father, you take the things we've seen and have them bear fruit in our own soul, not only in our relationship with you, but in relationship with others, each other, and in life. Have this verse become alive in us. Because the hidden mystery, the hidden message in this passage, is your desire that we are in harmony with you. Your desire and your love that we will put ourselves under the beneficial love that you give us. Father, praise you in Christ's name. Amen.